And Russia Eats is brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board. What is great Hmong food? Huge story in the New York Times this week, centered right on Minneapolis and two chefs, Yia Vang and Diane Mua. Both grew up on farms, both in their low 40s, and both, according to New York Times reporter Brett Anderson, are creating a cuisine that almost never happens in America. The emergence of a cuisine that's only really known in its own immigrant community. And so Brett Anderson joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, New York Times reporter. Brett, it's good to visit with you. We've visited with Yia and Diane on this podcast and on this show many, many times. But what is it that got you interested in these two? Because you've been looking into them for a long time.
Well, it goes back quite a few years, much longer, further back than I normally go with a typical newspaper story. But I first, I first ate Yia Vang's food, I think it was in 2019, when it was before COVID, and it was when I was home. I'm originally from Minneapolis. On a visit, and I went to Union Hmong Kitchen. I think it was outside a place called Cider Works. And, you know, and I had, as someone who grew up in Minneapolis, I haven't lived there in 25, 30 years, but I go home all the time, and I was born and raised there. I lived there until I was in my mid-20s, and I very much knew about the Hmong community. When you grow up there, you know, that was something that I had heard about. It was sort of before I moved away, before Hmong farmers and stuff started to become really prominent in the farmers market and that kind of thing. But in any event, I just remember eating his food and thinking, gosh, this is, I want to see more of this. Right. Yeah. And he immediately did get quite a bit of national attention. I mean, he had a dish on the cover of Bon Appetit magazine all the way back in 2020. And I stayed in touch with him, you know, over this period of time. And during that period of time, while he was trying to open Vinay, and he had a series of sort of misstarts where I think he thought he had a space one time and that fell through, and thought he had investors and those that would fall through. And then Diane Mua sort of came along as another Hmong American chef with really, really good credentials. And I started talking to her too. And I was interested in each of their restaurants. And then it turns out that they open, you know, within months of each other and within blocks of each other.
You write, the two restaurants showcasing Hmong food represent an extremely rare occurrence in American culinary arts, the emergence of a cuisine virtually unknown outside its own immigrant community. And I think sometimes here in the Twin Cities, we take it for granted, but you know, before Union Hmong Kitchen, there was no Hmong food in a restaurant scene. There just wasn't.
Mm-hmm. And yes, and that is incredibly unusual. I mean, think about some of the foods not from the United States that you were first exposed to. You know, let's take Thai cuisine, for instance.
Right.
You know, I was born in the 1970s. You know, I first would eat Thai food or Vietnamese food, usually in a very sort of undercapitalized mom and pop owned restaurant, right? Probably in a strip mall or something like that.
Sure.
People cooking, you know, what they, you know, their own food, but also what they think that the American audience will want. And you eat that food over a period of time, and then you see it sort of migrate into sort of higher end restaurants, maybe a next generation of Thai or Vietnamese American chefs open up a restaurant that's got a little bit more of this American voice and certain kinds of amenities that you might expect to see in more of an upscale restaurant. Well, here you have two restaurants that sort of appear fully formed in that way, right? Mm, yeah. And without having any of that backstory, you know, it's sort of like if the first ever Mexican restaurant in the United States opened with like a PR firm and craft cocktails and a full list of moles without generations of taquerias sort of preceding it, right? You know, I mean, that's a little bit of an extreme example, but that's what I'm talking about, the rare occurrence.
It reminds me a little bit of what Sean Sherman and Owamni did here in the Twin Cities, where, yes, there is some sort of, you know, there have been Native American efforts at restaurants and museums, for example, or food trucks. But, you know, here in Minneapolis to have that start. And again, same deal where it was pretty much a fully formed restaurant. It is unusual. And for us to have, you know, the Sean Sherman experience here and now to have the Yia Vang and Diane Mua is, I don't know, is there something in it's Minneapolis, you think? It is quite, you think in a couple of years, like that is a remarkable sort of innovation in a food world that doesn't necessarily have that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think it really speaks to how sort of alive and dynamic the Twin Cities restaurant scene has become. You know, really, all of these restaurants that you just mentioned, including Owamni, are restaurants that are like very much about the voice of the chefs that run them. And they're unique voices, and they're unique to the Twin Cities. They're unique to the Upper Midwest. They're not really drawing cues from, you know, restaurants on the coasts, which is sort of a typical dynamic over the generations, right? And I think it's exciting, and I think it's something that the Twin Cities really ought to be proud of.
These two chefs, Brett, are similar in sort of the training they had in a culinary world, but personality-wise and style-wise, you wrote about this, and certainly we've interviewed both of them on this podcast, and I've interviewed them many times on TV and for the magazine. They are so different, so different.
There's no doubt about it. And you know, as you know, as a journalist, that's fascinating.
Yes.
to
yes.
me, right? I like that. And as a diner too. I mean, their restaurants speak to it as well. I mean, I'm just a sort of a food level. I think a big difference is Diane's background as a pastry chef, you know, and that really does come out.
How does that show up for you? How did that show up?
I think it shows up in, well, I mean, in the most obvious way is that, you know, it's, there's a bakery there, you know, and it's very accomplished, and, you know, something I noticed in the number of times that I was able to go there, both for lunch and dinner, is that people did order baked goods to start.
Yes,
that's a unique thing, you know, in a restaurant, and I think that's sort of fascinating. I do think that her cooking is a little more pointillistic in the way you might expect a pastry chef's to be, where, you know, I think that he is a little brawnier, and as Diane points out, and I talked to Yia about this too, you know, she really believes that a lot of the differences they have as both chefs and just restaurateurs and people has to do with their genders and the way that that the difference between young boys and young girls being raised in a traditional Hmong community, and I find that all to be incredibly interesting and very revealing. You know, I mean, I like restaurants that can tell you a story about something larger than your meal. I think both these restaurants do that, to put it mildly.
Brett Anderson with the New York Times, terrific reporter, native of Minneapolis. We had a long conversation that's available for you on podcast. We just uploaded it to the DeRussia Eats podcast. So wherever you get podcasts, just search for DeRussia Eats and that'll get it going. So DeRussia Eats on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Check it out. Thanks to Brett for joining us, and what a great national attention for the Twin Cities. We talk about why that national attention is even more poignant right now when you look at the way Minnesota and Minneapolis has shown up in national headlines over the last 5 years. It's been because of Derek Chauvin and George Floyd and protests and then political assassinations and Tim Walz running for vice president. To have this other narrative of the amazing story, and we also talk about how Scholars say the Hmong didn't choose Minnesota. Minnesota chose the Hmong. Pretty interesting stuff. So more about that in the podcast. DeRussia Eats is what you search for, and check this out. Let's break. Twins pregame is coming up in just about 10 minutes. We'll take the temp of the team when we come back here on CCO.